Good morning. All right. Again, thank you guys for inviting us to come and share with you again this morning. For some of you guys who were not here last time I spoke, I'd like to take just a couple minutes to introduce us. I'm Dallas Bennett. I actually grew up in a large metropolis north of here called Adel. And and my wife's Lynn, and she's from California. And I had to go all the way to California to find just the right one. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We've been happily married for 32 years. I'm going to get that right. 32 years, and we've raised three wonderful boys, and they're all married and got their own families, and we have three grandchildren now, so we're excited about that. We kept two of the grandboys yesterday, and, you love them, right? And grandparents get amen? You love them, with all your heart, but, here you go. You can have them back now. And we just recently had a granddaughter, so that's our first. My wife basically raised four boys, three of our boys and me. And then we had two grandboys, and then she was just, am I going to get a girl? And finally we had a granddaughter about 4 months ago, and she's precious, and we love her. But yeah, my wife served eight years in the United States Navy, and I served 6 years in the Marine Corps, and that's kind of how we met. I went out there to the West Coast and met her, and I took a lot of flack as a Marine, but I did good, so God was good to me. So anyway, enough about us. Thank you. Share a little bit about our ministry and what I've been doing for the last probably 20-something years, a couple little breaks in there, but I'm a chaplain and a counselor and with an organization, a ministry called Penfield Christian Homes. And it's a ministry of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And I always like to take a minute to brag on what Jesus is doing through that ministry. I know I may have said something to you last time I was here, but you never know. Penfield has three campuses in Georgia. We help folks that are on drugs and alcohol and all other kinds of emotional scars and problems. And Penfield, the ministry has been around for about 40 years, and it's been very, very effective ministry. I worked in professional settings as a counselor, a chaplain, and I can tell you we see more results at Penfield than any place I've ever been. And I worked at places that would charge $1,500 a day to be there, and the main reason is because we get to openly talk about Jesus. And the men get saved, and they get born again, and we disciple them. And we also have a women's program, too, up close to Toccoa, Georgia, and for ladies that get on drugs and alcohol. And this many people out here, I know from my experience that half of you guys in here, right here, know someone who's had a drug and alcohol problem, either a family member, co-worker, or neighbor, right? Excuse me, I do a lot of teaching at work in the ministry, and so I get thirsty a lot. So, and it's hot outside. And so the ministry, we lead about 300 and something men to the Lord every year, and God blesses the ministry. And we keep good Baptists, we keep up with that and keep up with the numbers. And so as men and women come through the ministry, they stay 6 weeks. And we do counseling and individual and group counseling and education and sermons and preach. And I do most all the preaching and teaching on our campus. I work at a campus north of Nashville, Georgia. And I'm sharing this with you because I just want to brag on Jesus. And I, everywhere I go, I always want to plant the seed of what God's doing in the ministry of Penfield. And we see about 600 people come through our campuses every year. So 6 weeks, they leave and they go home. Or they go to a longer program. And so mainly what we do is really try to get them to, we are ministers of reconciliation, aren't we? We all are, you, me, us. And so we try to get them saved, born again. And then we try to disciple them and get them moved in the right direction. And I tell you, I see men and women, I see their lives change. I see marriages healed. I see children to get their family, their parents, their mom, dad back. So it's a real miracle. I'm just going to share it with you. This week we saw 9 men give their life to Christ. 9 this week. And two of them I had the opportunity to lead to the Lord. And one was a was a man, was a young man, he's about 25, and he was born in Russia, and his parents were serious alcoholics, and they abandoned him on the street, and so a couple in America adopted him, brought him to America, and then they physically abused him, and other abuses too, you know what I'm saying, right? And so he wound up running away, getting on drugs. And then a Christian couple adopted him and tried to get him some help. He came into Penfield. And when he came to Penfield, he didn't want to be there. He said, I don't want this Bible mess. I don't want none of this. But it was a place that we take people no matter what their money. You know, it don't matter if they have money or not. And so he came in, and he was openly homosexual. And he had a big, giant tattoo of something that was very inappropriate on his arm right here. And he said, I don't know about this Bible stuff, you know. And so they gave him to me. They have a tendency to give the tough guys to me. I've been doing this so long. And the Lord's good, isn't he? God's good. God can break all those barriers. And this is about a month ago. Well, about 2 weeks ago, he came to my office and was talking to me about his abandonment issues and about his father, his earthly father left him. And I began to tell him about our Heavenly Father and how he said he'd never leave us and never forsake us. And like he could have peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and he could find a new life. And he gave his life to Christ right there and began to cry and repented and gave his life to the Lord. And it was so precious because about 2 days later, he came back to my office and I said, what's on your arm? And he had this ace bandage. You know, like you get mess up your ankle, you know, had this ace bandage and he had wrapped it around his arm and his tattoo right there. And he says, you know, Mr. Dallas, he said, I don't want to live like that no more. He said, sorry. He said, I don't want to live like that no more. He said, I don't want to live that lifestyle no more. He said, I've found the real God, the true God. And he was going to get that tattoo removed or something with it, you know. And now, you know, he's just fired up for the Lord. He's studying the Bible. And it's just miracles like that we see, you know, over and over and over and over, you know. And I love Jesus. I love bragging on Jesus. And Jesus can change lives no matter how terrible, how bad. So anyway, so let's move on forward. Is that all right? We're going to be... You get me started on that. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? And so each one of you have your own testimony, and I encourage you to begin to share it with others. You might not be a really, really bad testimony, but I guarantee you each one of you have a testimony. So I want to encourage you to begin to share it with people. Share people your testimony. All right, so we're going to be in the book of Matthew. So if you want to turn there, book of Matthew. And... Chapter 11. And as you're turning, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to brag on you. Lord, I love you. I love this ministry that you've called us to, the minister of reconciliation. Lord, thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for the beautiful music and the praise and worship music. And I thank you, Lord, for this young man that came up and got the award, Lord. And I just pray for him, Lord, that he'll continue that Bible and memorizing the Bible verses. And he will continue the walk that he's walking now, Lord. And I just pray for this message, Lord, that you'll bless it. It'll not be my words or something fancy that I'm trying to say, but you'll move through me, Lord, this old broken vessel, Lord, and you let me leak out on them a little bit this morning and be a blessing to them, Lord. As we encourage one another, we look to you and give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Young man, what was your name again? What was his name? Julian? Julian? Congratulations, buddy. So that's good, right? What'd he say? Oh, well, you know, you gotta talk to the powers to be. But Dr. James Dobson, some of you might remember him, know him, of radio ministry. He said something years ago that really impacted me. He said, it's easier to build boys than to fix men. And so bless you guys that are putting your extra effort and your ministry into the children. You know, that's everything to me. It really is. It's building these young men and these young girls up in the Lord. And because I have to try to fix the men, right? Well, it's not me, but it's the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit fixes people. But you get the point, you know. All right, so Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. Very familiar verse, but I'm going to read it to you. Here we go. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, guys, in my 20-something years of counseling and chaplain ministry, one thing I know for sure, that everyone has problems at one time or another. You'll get an amen for that? Everybody has problems. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you live in the country, if you live in the city, if you're black, white, yellow, or red. It doesn't matter. Everybody has problems. Every family has their own challenges and issues. Now, some may be small and some may be big, but everybody has problems. Always remember that. Don't think that you're looking at brother or sister so-and-so or that family over there and you think that they got everything worked out. That is not true. There's always something going on. It's either financial issues or health issues or children issues or job issues or something in life. The pressures of life, the weariness of life, it comes upon all of us. Okay? Now, we basically have three places to turn for help when times get tough. Three places. The world, ourself, and God. That's one thing I've learned. It's either you can turn to the world, you can turn to ourself, or you can turn to God. Now, John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take joy, I have overcome the world." That's what Jesus says. See, guys, when we start reaching out to the world for help, it's okay to reach out for your friend or maybe a counselor or a pastor to get advice from, but you want to be very careful about reaching out to the world to get help. Because here's what happens, and I've seen this so many times. The world will eventually direct you back to yourself. Anybody seen that? The world will eventually direct you back to yourself. The world will tell you, believe in yourself. You can do it. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? I had to throw that one out there, man. Sorry. The world will tell you, look to yourself. Read another positive book. Read another self-help book. And sometimes those are okay on the surface. But be very careful about trying to put all your eggs into self-help books, thinking positive. The world will tell you to go and see the local guru, the local person who specializes in this or that. I'm not saying that's altogether wrong. I'm just saying you want to be very careful about when you have problems and issues in your family. Here's an example. I know some licensed marriage and family therapists that are the marriage specialists, and they're working on their third marriage. I'm serious. I know them personally. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. And I know some good, godly Christian men and women who've been faithful to each other and who has had 30, 40 years of successful marriage. But you know what? You don't go see them. They're not a licensed marriage and family therapist. You know, so you be very careful how the world can get you mixed up. Okay, eventually, that worldly guru is going to tell you this. Look deep inside yourself, because there you'll find the answer. Have you ever heard that before? Sounds like a Disney movie or something, right? Remember Rafiki, the wise baboon? Really? Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is death. Have you ever heard someone say, just follow your heart? Anybody ever heard? Just follow your heart. That sounds warm and fuzzy, but that's really bad advice. Do you agree with that? That's really bad advice. The Bible teaches in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is deceitful and wicked and desperately sick. And it says, who can understand this thing? The Bible teaches that we cannot do anything without God. We cannot even breathe without God. Our heart can't keep going without God. Our marriage can't stay strong without God. Our children can't prosper and be in good health and without God. We can't even move our body. We can't even get up in the morning and move our legs without God. God is in everything and around everything, and everything was built for Him and through Him and by Him, right? Jesus said in John 15:5, He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Here's the good news, my friends, that God is able. Can I get amen? He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He is everything, the creator of the universe. The Bible states hundreds of times that He is able to guide us and protect us and comfort us. He gave us His Holy Spirit, right? To teach us, to guide us, to comfort us, to correct us. I love the Old Testament names for God. And here's a couple of them that touches my heart. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. Isaiah in 41:10 said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What's that? I do too, buddy. That's a good one. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and I will teach you the way you should go. And I will counsel you and watch over you with my loving eye. Some of us, sometimes we just need simple direction in life. God said the word of God will be the lamp unto our feet. He said, trust in me. Trust in me. I love you with an everlasting love. Lean not on your own understanding. Remember that in Proverbs? Very famous verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in everything you do, put God first and He will direct your path. Yes, it is clear that we cannot do anything without God. But we also know that the Bible teaches that all things are possible with God, and that I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So, my friends, the biblical solution for us who are weary and heavy laden is to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Remain in Him and rest in the arms of our Heavenly Father. I get amen for that one. I love that. I love that picture of Abba Father. He loves us. Let's take a few minutes and look at these two words. Weary and heavy laden. Because remember Jesus said, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. This is interesting. I love to do these Bible studies in regards to really breaking the scripture down and looking at the Greek and get a nice little concordance. You can go to blueletterbible.org on your computer now and you can look everything on there. Anybody familiar with that? blueletterbible.org. It's a great little ministry support Bible study tool. Write it down. blueletterbible.org. It's a great tool to help study the Bible. I think it's great to read the Bible, but I think it's even better to study it, to really get in there and really find out those nuggets of truth of how God is really calling you to be the father that he wants you to be the mother he wants you to be, so he can teach you to be the businessman that he wants you to be, to the community leader, the church leader. Get into the Word of God and really begin to study it and fall in love with it and have a passion for the Word. So let's look at that word weary. Check it out. When you really look in the Greek of that, this is what it means. It means to grow tired, to be exhausted in your soul. I mean just tired. Physically tired, emotionally just tired. That's what that really means. And there's a second part of that word, that weary, and this is what it means. It's where we get the English word grief from. It's like a grief, like a sorrow. And this is what it says when you really study it. It says it's like a sorrow. It's like a man beating his chest. Just, God, what am I going to do? Has anybody been so broken you've been down on the floor in your living room just crying, going, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? That grief and sorrow was so strong. It's like a man just beating his chest, just beating the table. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about that weariness to where deep in your soul, in your mind, and your emotions, you're just done. You're just wore out. You can't figure this out. You don't know how this is going to work. This is overwhelming. Jesus says, all you who are weary, he said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Let's look at that. Look at that word, heavy laden. Now, I didn't know this until like a week ago when I was studying for this and putting this together. And I thank the Lord for it. Some of you might know this. Pastor, you probably read this 100 times maybe. But heavy laden. That word laden is likened to a ship's load. Like a ship. And a load that you put on this ship. Now everybody listen to this real close, because I think this is going to minister to some of you in here. That heavy laden, it's like a load on a ship. The captain of that ship knows what this boat can do. It knows that it can go from point A to point B in this ocean travel voyage with this amount of load on it. But see, here's what happens. Some of the crew will secretly, everybody say secretly. The crew will secretly go and be disobedient to the captain, and they'll secretly go and try to get some more on for themselves, and they'll bring it on the ship in secret. The secret sin of disobedience. And they'll put this on the ship to where it's heavy and loaded without the captain aware of it, and they take off and go out in the ocean, and it slows the ship down. And then the winds and waves and trials and tribulations of life come by, and that ship is heavy laden. It's loaded down with a secret sin that was not supposed to be there. And that ship will, if it doesn't unload this mess, sorry if I use the word mess, but you know, I work with hard-necked men all day, so God forgive me. Right? It's loaded down with this mess, or that ship will sink. Are y'all getting that metaphor? You're getting where Jesus is really trying to teach us here? That some folks have these secret sins deep in there that nobody else knows, but you know, God knows, and you're loading down your boat, your vessel. You're loading it down. Your vessel is heavy laden from the secret sin that you've been toting around for a long time. And Jesus is saying, let it go. Let it go. Let it go this morning. Be done with it. Confess your sins one to another. Confess your sins to God, for He cares for you. Let go. All ye who are heavy laden, He said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. See, some people call this a soul sickness. Biblical scholars say that our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And tonight, we're going to talk more in detail about that. So if you're interested in that, you know, come back tonight and we'll share that. Your soul is your mind. It's how we think. Our soul is also our will. In other words, that's what we do and what we don't do. What we choose to do and choose not to do, that's our will. And it's also our emotions. Sad, happy, angry, agitated, pleasure. These are a part of our soul. How many of you guys in here need rest for your mind? How many of you need rest for your behavior and what you're doing? How many of you need rest for your feelings and your emotions? How many of you have a soul sickness? How many of you are weary and heavy laden? I have good news for you. Jesus says, all ye who are weary and burdened, He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest for your soul. Tammy, do you want to come on? Thank you. All ye who are weary. This morning, if this applies to you, if the Holy Spirit's been moving in your heart, you can come to the altar. I'm sure there's some men here who'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray with you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if there's anyone here who has never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's do that today. If you're here today and you have a weariness about you, if you have a heavy laden, I encourage you to lay it at the altar this morning. You don't need anything fancy. You just come up here and say, Jesus, I give this to you. I lay this at the altar.